All right, so Dresden Files, we're back after a long hiatus. I've been eaten up by my job and by some editing work, but I'm finally able to eke out some free time. Yay. So, Dresden Files Accelerated Alaska Edition, we're in session 5. Does anyone want to hazard a recap?
I can go over what I remember. Sadly, my last computer died a horrible death, so I don't have any of my notes.
I'm not sure if you recounted any plots, so I don't know if it matters.
We had tracked them to an island. I did a lot of surveillance.
Who heard?
The guy playing Paul. I think my character's name is Paul. I have to bring up Roll 20.
No. Who him is the him that you tracked? Plot. Give us the plot background, in other words.
Plots. Okay. So, nameless drug dealer at the moment. I had a John Smith name for him. And that's about it. Let's see, is this my... Nope, that's not my notepad. You'd think I would have gotten my notes out, but I didn't.
So, moving back, let's go back all the way to the beginning. The beginning was our characters are in Alaska. We're all associated with the police as they're basically their brute squad for magic stuff. And apparently someone was dishing out vials of otherworldly substances that tainted people and turn them into other monsters. The outside monsters. Given the outside is basically, you know, Cthulhu land, that's a bad thing. So we were on the case of basically burning these places out as fire worked real well. And we were in the process of doing that when we did some backtracking. We finally managed to find... So we managed to do some backtracking back to some of the materials that were used to create the vials that the quote-unquote drugs were holding. I completely have forgotten all the names of that stuff. We traced it down to a head shop, that they were coming from a head shop. We did some investigation stuff with that, and we found that the head shop was getting their material from a, basically from the Alaskan or the Anchorage docks. We went down to the Anchorage docks. We set a tracking spell on the clay because it was a very specific clay that they were using in order to get, to make these. A lot of the vials apparently failed the crafting of them, and only some of them passed. So we managed to get some of the failed vials. There were some more talky-talky stuff. And then we got a description of the nameless drug dealer, who I believe was my character from our one shot. But I don't know if I have any information to back that up, rather than that was Nick's supposition. And then also your police department decided to take some of the quote-unquote drugs to test them with, which I was real unhappy with. And still am real unhappy with that one. But I keep that deep below the surface.
Wah, wah, wah.
So we... I remember there's more stuff, but I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. So last game there, we had a minimal crew. We were down at least, was it 2 people last time?
I don't know.
Here, Steven? I don't know.
You say I wasn't.
Yeah, I think it was just Jameis and Nick that played last time.
Oh, no.
I don't think so, because the last time it was Nick and I were in a car while someone else went off and interacted with the bad guy.
Yeah, that was me.
Must have been with you.
Right? No, that was you. Yeah. I don't remember who did it. I just know someone did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember us being snarky in the car. I don't know why we were snarky.
Piece of information.
Completely unhelpful. Don't forget that part.
The piece of information that you're missing there that is your link to the next part is that the drug dealer seems to be operating off an island called Kinnikut, which was an old copper mining town off one of the islands fairly close by.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's actually inside part of the Wrangell St. Elias National Park and Preserve now, but the town is been abandoned. It's being reclaimed by nature. It is not a safe place. They don't allow visitation. They don't allow looky loos, that sort of thing, on the island.
Okay.
But it is a secluded spot that, as it used to be a copper mining and refinery town. They're using it.
How did he find this information out? I forgot. I've completely blanked on that, Bert.
It was all my work. I was the guy who followed him, got into a cab with him, tracked him to the seaplane he took off on. I even got his business card and a contact information for him.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, and either we tracked the plane or he said I came from the island or something.
That doesn't sound suspicious.
No, he didn't say. You guys actually tracked the information.
Okay. All right, well.
Oh, well, that's it. Out of our hands. Let's go home.
I have little investment here. Mm-hmm. I guess, well.
You got a little background on the place, and that's pretty much where we ended last time. So, very profitable in the early 1900s. By the 20s and 30s, it was pretty much depleted. The town dried out by the 40s. By 52 was the last family living there. And since it's been reclaimed by National Park Service, and they're just essentially letting it rot, letting nature reclaim it.
Okay.
And it's what, 1981 now? 1987?
84. Yeah.
So, how difficult, could we just go and pay a bush pilot to take us over there?
Yeah, you could. There's no problem with that. I think Jameis's character actually looked into getting a pilot from the police force, which was fine too. They could do that.
We could alternately get a boat, or I even have a special ability.
A seaplane is the way most people hop from island to island, just because it's faster. And because of that, there's also a plethora of rentals around that you can do that with as well. The police force has their own seaplanes as well.
Do we?
Puddle jumpers, as they are affectionately known.
Yep. Do we have a fourth in this game?
Yeah. He has been very quiet. You should reintroduce his character.
Still playing Eddie.
Okay. Yeah, Excellent. You're my favorite. I remember that.
Actually, since it's been a while, let's go around the roster, if we will. So... Jameis is playing
a character. Normally, who knows? Laszlo Hino is a name. He is a police officer. He's a cold-blooded killer for the law. And he is working mostly for the police department, but also for the winter court as well. But that's not as widely known.
And Steven.
Hi, me, Steven. I am playing Paul Huns. He's a changeling that's a carefree outdoorsman. He's like some kind of bastard son of a Wild Hunt hound, and he takes refuge in Audacity. He's also the, let's just say, supernatural problem solver around the world. He's on retainer by the Juno police or the Juno Council anyway.
And Michael?
Playing Eddie, half troll vigilante. It's fairly evident to anyone that is in the know from his rather large stature and the warts on him that he is a half troll.
And Nick?
I am playing Wilbert Waitley of the Waitley Clans, and I am in Alaska hunting down some, well, interesting bits of my grandfather's old journal that has nothing at all worrisome in it. It's not bad. Don't worry about it, really.
He comes from that branch of the Waitley family tree. Yes. That's good. That little twig of a branch.
Hey, you know.
The more decadent side of the Waitley family, as they put them so.
Yes, we are the non-degenerated Waitley.
Yes. Okay, so you have tracked your drug dealer down to what makes sense as being where he is probably refining and making this drug, a secluded place that may still have infrastructure useful to him.
Ooh, carpet bombing.
No.
What? I don't think our fictitious arsonist can step up his game that heavily.
Solve the problem. Carpet bomb the place.
Look. Certainly would. I don't think there's anybody around to witness that. Do you happen to have any carpet bombs?
They're
not.
No? Oh. Not on me. I'll see if I can. I can see if I can reposition some.
Yay. All right. Well, just gonna
there is the tedious inconvenience of we'd have to check anyway to make sure that the copper bombs would work. And that just hampers our progress, honestly.
Right. So
do any of our characters?
No, go ahead.
Do any of our characters have any knowledge about the Session Zero happenings?
None of you. Yeah, none of you do.
Aside from what we may have seen in newspapers that the reporter on it, that would be about it. Of, oh, something happened up some other foreign island, which something happened.
Yeah, which was chalked up to a Navy maneuver gone wrong.
Yeah. Damn those Navy.
Everybody was trying out for the Navy SEALs. Nobody made it. Pity.
So, I would propose us not utilizing the police resources for this one, simply because we do not want to. Well, the more that we do this with government resources, the more it can be tracked back to us. I would say, I would vote anyways that we just simply charter ourselves a plane. Of course, the problem is we don't know how long we're going to be gone. Is this area still within radio traffic, Bert?
Yes, it is.
It's you see this really close. Can we just say we whatever preparation on the way, then just cut two? Because frankly, we could just cut two rather than
As far as just decide how you're going about it is all I ask.
Yeah.
Like, are you doing it officially or are you doing it off the books?
I do it officially through my captain. I can't remember her name, Lieutenant Starbuck. That's what I remember.
Yeah. I recall. I would like to let her know that we're going to go do it, but we're going to basically do it without their resources.
What?
Why wouldn't we use their resources?
Because we're probably about to do some wet work and this should be off the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big issue is that Kennecott is in the Elias National Park. And that is not necessarily something that they can hush up if something really bad goes on.
Fine, we'll put it down to the fire department again.
Well, I do believe there is a reporter who is somewhat onto said things.
On the trail of the arsonist.
Yeah, we really don't want him to mess this all up. So I would advise that we simply...
Fishing boat would probably be cheaper. Offer more versatility.
Now, the Force does have various fishing boats and puddle jumpers that are not part of the Force that they do use on occasion for various things. Remember, being the mid portion of the 80s, the drug problem, conventional drugs, are a big issue. And so they use these to help Coast Guard and such, and DEA to catch drug smugglers, that sort of thing. So,
hey, Lorenzo,
you can use that are not marked as police, but you know,
we don't just have the police as backup either. We do have the rest of the council we could bill because they are more or less footing the bill. It's just the police has been their front for all this. But really, what I want to know is, Lorenzo, how about we go entertain your fishing hobby?
I look at you blankly.
You can charter a fishing boat. That's perfectly fine. And if one of you can actually drive a boat.
Even better.
Yeah. Sadly, in the fishing schools of Boston.
Well, one of you is a hunter.
I got this covered. Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens when he dies?
We swim. You got swimming, don't you?
Well, this is a boat, not a sailboat, so it's really not that hard.
You say that, but yeah. Engines, as far as I am concerned, are powered by small demons.
They are.
What's your point?
You can certainly show them the basics of using the boat. As you point out, this is not a sailboat. This is a motorboat. Not difficult to drive.
Eddie, I'm trusting in you, in the case of my untimely demise, to screw these guys over because they're morons.
So,
two finger salute.
Yeah, I just am minorly concerned.
Sounds good.
By the probability that some people are not going to make it back from this one, but
All right. So, chartering a fishing boat.
And then, I just had, as a backup, because I'm a paranoid individual, I would like to range a radio, you know, just in case I have to call up in a puddle jumper to come and rescue our ass.
Well, Lorenzo can certainly requisition a couple of sat phones if you need to, as well as...
But videos. Would a radio even work for the wizard?
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah,
well, that's a good point.
Yeah, the radios are an ancient technology that have been around for 80 years at this point in time, and my character's relative.
Yeah, but sat phones are a bit more recent.
Yeah, that's not why I'm bringing a sat phone. I'm bringing a radio.
Do you also know Morse?
No. Look, got it. All right.
If you knew him personally, yes. Let's keep going on.
No problem. So, chartered a fishing boat. I'm assuming you are bringing what arsenal you have. You're able to requisition.
I've got the shotgun as usual on my pistol and basic sort of camping gear. We'll have in the fishing zone if we end up being there longer. Mm-hmm. Standard adventuring pack. You know.
Sure.
I got probably a shotgun, sawed off. My big old knife. Probably even have a few specialized salt rock salt rounds. Blessed, of course.
Sure, I will assume any reasonable gear is brought along on the boat.
And a map. I would like to have a map of the area.
Sure.
Well, now you're getting fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you file a travel itinerary
for a fishing boat?
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't think so.
So we will progress then. You are.
I said the captain knows, the lieutenant knows where we're going. So it's not like we're coming completely without anyone having the slightest idea where we are.
All right. So
if we're not back by tomorrow, wait a little bit more longer. We may be taking a while.
It's fair skies today. It's always a little brisk with the cold, but not too bad. It takes several hours to get there by fishing boat, which is the other reason people take puddle jumpers, because you... There are several very powerful currents that run around the Alaskan Strait, that area. So sometimes you have to go around to get to where you need to go. So it takes a little bit longer by boat. But so we're going to say that you're anchored just offshore of the island. You can see, as on roll 20 here, on the mountainside, some crumbling old buildings in the distance. I'm going to assume you guys brought some binoculars as well.
Yeah, telescopes. Probably night vision also enhanced if need be.
Ooh.
All right. So yeah, you're anchored offshore. So everything looks quiet. I mean, you're not seeing any like smoke coming out of buildings or anything like that.
Okay.
It looks abandoned.
I would like Mr. Eddie and Mr. What's your character's name? Hunney? Are you Paul Hunneys?
Huns, yes.
Huns, okay. So, I would just like y'all to see if you could not see if maybe there's something wrong with the nature of this area, because typically these kind of spells have a radiation effect and will affect the local wildlife. So, maybe we could see if we could narrow that the area that we're looking for down by something like that.
Oh, you, Paul.
I peer through my binoculars and check out the local ecosystem that I can see from however far offshore we are.
Aren't you like in tuned with that kind of stuff?
It's much easier up close.
This sounds like a focus approach since you're taking your time looking through binoculars. Give me a roll.
I'll do that.
Well, they were all fiddling with the magic waves, but I'm just going to move away a little bit and check a compass.
I'm sorry, you're going to move away some and do what?
Check a compass.
Check a compass. Okay. Mm. Well, it seems to be acting correctly. Cool. One success, hard to tell. You don't see a lot in the way of wildlife. I mean, you're seeing some trails, which probably are used by caribou, some of the larger wildlife. Of course, you're seeing some insects near the shoreline, which is typical, but there's just not a lot of information there for you to go off of. I mean, it looks okay, but...
If you're expecting creepy crawlies along my spine, I kind of have to get closer for that.
Whilst he was doing his visual verification, I wanted to see if I could tell if someone's been pouring a lot of magic, if there's a magical bonfire basically going off or things like that.
Hmm, okay.
I'm just taking my time.
We separate the party!
Woo! Yep. I'm assuming you're still all on the boat doing this.
Yes.
Okay, so sure. Give me a focus roll.
Yeah, definitely not opening up my third eye yet. Also, not great. All right.
The same thing. There is an ambient level of magic that you've come to associate with some of the wilder regions of Alaska, because this area is fae touched. There are a lot of thinning of the veils in Alaska, so no more than you're used to seeing.
If the GM is assuming we're not off the boat yet, can I be worried?
Well, no, I mean...
No one has said anything about getting off the boat.
Because I thought we would have gotten off the boat, got there and got off the boat and started looking around that way.
I hear you. All right, well, let's...
Hop off the boat and start tying it up.
Yeah, I wonder if we could attract a fae. A little fae or something like that around. Eddie or Huns?
You're the wizard. We don't bully our brethren.
Can you invite him over for some tea?
Not really my bag, man.
Someone dropped.
And they're back.
Do you two know that you're changelings?
Paul definitely does.
Okay. Did he?
I mean, he's a big troll.
That doesn't mean he consciously acknowledges it.
Eddie?
Maybe he can't hear us right now.
Well, it doesn't matter. Moving on.
Yep. So, all right. So, well, I guess I'm going to see if I can't attract some minor of the four spirits or whatnot that are roaming around, and see if I can't open up a dialogue.
Okay. Do some magic then.
Yep. All right. So I'm basically going to. You know what? I'm not going to do that. We'll just look around with our eyes.
All right. So you get off, tie off the boat.
Yep.
It's pretty quiet. I mean, you're seeing some signs here and there from the National Park Service, essentially saying that it's a dangerous place. Don't enter the buildings. They take no responsibility for your foolishness if you choose to do so. Otherwise, the place looks like you can see animal tracks here on the shoreline. So, I mean, you do have animals about. You're just not seeing any just offhand moment. Mosquitoes are always pretty thick right at the coastlines like this. So, yeah, that's the usual. So everything looks kind of normal.
Okay, we're at a dock, or we had a sort of a listen-on dock.
The dock has long since disintegrated. Getting close to the coastline is easy enough. I mean, you bring the boat in as far as you dare. You throw off the anchor and you just wade in.
Any sign that anyone's been using in this dock area?
Well, give me a roll. Everybody can.
How do I do that? It's been a while.
Usually focus because you're taking your time, unless it's just like taking a casual look.
Okay, yeah, pretty good. Or whatever the range is. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And let me get that roll from everybody. This will be for the scene.
Yep. Just how right, I got it too.
Okay. Lorenzo's with the 3.
I see no planes about, so that's why I saw him coming in on.
Slightly distracted, yes. I guess he's still frozen or out, so...
Yep.
Oh, his character just dropped from roll 20.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to roll his dice for him here.
Idiot is phasing it out of resistance.
My house watching Netflix, fighting on the internet.
Oh, okay. Give us a focus roll. This is for the scene, just your general awareness.
Eddie?
I believe he's still fighting for that, isn't it?
Okay. Well, so...
Hey, Steve, you want to roll for me?
You can just take my roll. What is your focus at? So add 2 to whatever your focus 2. Is. Okay, so you have a 4, so you're doing pretty good. Everybody's off the boat. You're looking around. There is a lot of debris at the coastline as well. It looks like some of these buildings are in very bad repair, and when you get a lot of wind, it tears pieces off. Some of it's floating here and along the coastline. Lots of shattered bits, old rusty nails, that sort of thing. But everything seems very quiet, very calm.
Perhaps too calm.
And to be frank, it's something I should have done earlier, but I'm going to do it now. I'm just going to check and see if there are any wards about things like that.
Check for wards. Okay.
Yep.
I thought that's what you were already doing. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, when you checked for magic, that would have told you if there are any strong wards about. So,
as much as you would have noticed with that roll.
Yeah.
Yes, as much as. Thank you. Thank you. James.
No strong wards.
I'm here to help.
Line of sight.
Yes. No, nothing done clumsily. Excellent news. All right. Well, I, to be frank with the rest of the crew, I do not feel like I've done a good job checking the area, but, I'm not going to do better.
Any ley lines about wizard?
I mean, yes. We're in the middle of an untouched natural forest. There's oodles of magic around here.
Okay. Trying to move on a bit. We know roughly, we have a rough map of the place. We know where about the main town is. We know where the dock is. We know the main path. I want to sort of circle around a bit, so I'm not directly on the direct path that we would take from the dock, but I don't want to get too far into the bush either. But basically, I don't want to be that noticeable if people look at the dockwards, but I'm not going to stray far from the path.
So there is a wide rock path that leaves up. As you can see from the pictures, most of the town is actually on the mountainside. Mm-hmm. In some of the flatter regions. So at some point, someone had built out of the natural rock steps, a series of steps that go straight up. It's largely overgrown now, but that would have been the main path. So
if you I'm trying to maintain cover going up as well.
That's fine. Nature has overgrown most of all of the down area here. So easy enough, you can just go to either side of the path and go up that way.
Cool. That's what I'm going to do.
All right. Is everybody following, or are you breaking up?
I see me sort of doing tactical. If you look at any others, just strolling.
What a lovely day in the woods. I did not know you had such beautiful foliage up here.
Paul, what do you call these
big leafy things?
Trees?
Oh, what a delightful name.
Paul is a bit more prowling about as if he's stalking in a game. And he's also looking for recent usage on these steps.
Okay. So Michael is texting in. He says that Eddie is sticking close to Wilbur and will act to defend him if need be. You're checking recent. Okay, so we're going again with that zero that you rolled, unfortunately. it does not look like there has been recent movement along the main path to you.
Well, shucky darns.
Actually, it's fairly overgrown. Even at your zero roll on this, it seems unlikely that it has been recently passed through, because you would see at least broken, you know, some broken foliage here and there. It looks
Some tramped down grass or something.
Yeah.
Especially if we used it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just not seeing it. Okay, so if you all are following Lorenzo, then beating your way through the foliage. Mosquitoes are a bit of a problem. You guys are all used to this as you spent some time in the wilderness while you've been here. Probably not comfortably, but yeah.
Yes, mosquitoes know better than to feed on me.
Why would I spend time in the wilderness, Bert?
Well, some of your duties here have required you to do that.
Oh, it's even more horrible than I imagined.
You're at least acquainted with the discomforts of nature.
You've heard about them.
That would be all of them.
So about a quarter mile in, the brush stops and becomes more just rolling tundra.
So we're doing this Fast and Furious style.
Yeah, it's
living life quarter mile at the time.
So you don't have to beat through the brush for very long before it becomes just tundra, and you're looking at the small lichens that grow on the mountainsides. So you're passing a few shattered shacks here and there that are some of the outlier buildings, not part of the main town. Bits of rotting equipment here and there as well.
Are we hearing anything loud and in the distance? It's an obvious move.
No, none of you are actually hearing the sounds of anything
industrial,
man-made or industrial, right?
Okay.
So you're passing little rusted bits of machinery like that are laying around. This looks like it used to be a small, maybe a family home that you're passing. You're not exactly sure what this rusted contraption is, but certainly hasn't been used in many, many a year.
It's a thing with wheels.
So I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't imagine a wizard hacking clay out of the ground.
If you're any example, no, I don't think they would.
Yeah, I'm going to back up a little bit because you already figured that information out. You know where the clay came from. It is actually mass produced.
Oh, okay.
Special ordered.
Yeah,
he ordered it by the ton.
Okay, yeah, I thought maybe he was getting it here, but I've been so long.
No,
he's getting the special vials and collecting them. Then he hopped on a plane, presumably to come here. This is just the manufacturing for the drugs.
Okay, but not for the clay. So, all right. No,
the clay trail has been dealt with, I believe. We can close that particular side quest out.
Oh, yeah. It would give us some indication of what to be looking for. But given that it's not at this location, I am looking for nothing. I am blind.
All right, so you continue on. So you're at the outskirts of what used to be the town. So how you're saying you wanted to stay away from the main part. So kind of explain to me what you're doing. So you're hitting some of the...
I'm staying in cover as I go in is what I'm doing. Staying in cover while I explore.
He's trying to be tactical and not be shot at.
Tactical, even.
All right, which case...
Think police tactic searching, that's how. Mm-hmm. So busting in bases, yelling go, go, go. Oh, that's military. No.
All right. Well, Lorenzo, you do spot that there is a caribou just kind of walking through along the path of the main city that you're seeing from afar right now. It seems to look up, scenting the air as if maybe it realizes you're here, but goes back to just wandering about.
Yep, no, do that.
We're not here for poaching, so ignore it. I'm looking for mainly for myself intact buildings.
The ones where you are now, which are on the outskirts, are pretty not so much intact. The most intact buildings are towards the center of town. Probably the ones that were reinforced that were used for the main processing of the copper ore.
In Paul's thinking, there's no sense in using a non-intact building when there's a intact building available. And so that's where we should check out. And he relays his conjecture onto to his cohorts.
I asked the wizard, is there any particular type of thing that would be better for this manufacturing in terms of things we should be looking for than others? Is this a particular property of house that we want to find?
I would think.
I would think rather... So when I initially did my magical survey, I didn't get the hint. A deep well of evil that is floating about, which means that it's insulated by something. Now, it could be insulated by a gigantic circle, or some other natural formation, which would lead me to believe that it's in the mines. Just as my initial supposition, because the earth is typically a great, basically, insulator of magical energy. So now he might live out here, but it would, if you're hiding something from someone who is coming around looking for just casual, like, I would say that to hide it in the mines would be a good maneuver.
The buildings are on the way to the mines, so we might as well cross them off first.
Yeah, I would be... However, you might want to be a little bit cautious about entering into buildings, as that would be... If I was to set up something at a location, a bunch of buildings would be a great and easy way to trap someone and make a kaboom.
Okay, now stop me if I don't know this sort of thing, but would you better tell if anyone's been here long enough to set up a threshold?
Yes, I would be able to.
I don't know if I know that, though. Do I know that?
In fact, in this game, I use such words. So.
Okay.
Just, it was real early.
Yeah. Because I'm not sure how much. I have to be careful. Well, James would know we would do this as a person.
As you're the guy who has to deal with this sort of thing, it's probably at least part of your one-on-one.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a limit to, James knows this real sort of minutia stuff. Okay, no, you don't.
Well, you now know, don't invite anybody into your own home.
Hmm. The other thing, is there any major source of streaming water around here that they may also be using to disguise themselves with?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, I mean...
Asking for the general map, so /GM, as well as looking around.
You're looking at the map. high in the mountains, there looks to be a natural lake that has developed in kind of a cauldron shape where the mountain, of course, this whole area used to be volcanic. Right. And so there is a natural lake at the top of the mountain, and there are some tributaries that do drip off from that.
Any major place close to the... where is the airfield?
You don't see an airfield on this map.
Looking around, do we see an airfield anyway?
Nope.
Seaplane, so they probably parked out there, and we didn't see one.
Well, we didn't see any sign of anyone using their track either. So they easily may have landed somewhere else. But that's the most likely place they would have come. Fine, let's keep looking. Let's go. Let's move.
Okay. So then you go through the center of the town?
Yep.
All right. So as you go through the center of the town, there is one large building that looks to be mostly intact. And I got you a view right here. And the ones right next to it. It looks like the lighter colored building used to be the main processing facility. It has very large like gantry doors that look like you could drive large trucks through or even larger pieces of equipment, that sort of thing. Very weathered, but still mostly intact. As you're entering the town, the caribou stops grazing about and looks at you. It doesn't look frightened in the least. And as it does, a couple of crows come to settle on some of the rooftops. They all seem to be intently staring at you.
Are we talking possessed nature here, or is that sort of thing that could happen? Or
it looks odd, that's for sure.
Hunter?
Crows are known to be wizards' familiars, or just sorcerers, if they're not up to the grade of wizards. And haven't heard of a caribou getting into a staring contest quite like this, as I stare back at the caribou.
Deep into its eyes?
Sure. Well, they got them on each side, so I don't know if I can maintain eye contact.
Yes, it seems oddly unafraid. Could simply be because, you know, it's a national forest. Supposedly no one hunts here. Maybe it just knows not to be afraid.
Yeah. Or
it is a little disconcerting. Caribous are quite large.
Or I can take them.
If you were going to hide a guardian spirit into something, it would make sense if it was an animal that was natural. And, you know,
what would happen if we shot it?
Hopefully it'll die.
If there's a guardian spirit living inside of it, it's going to get really ugly. And then we're going to be in a fight for our lives.
Great. I've got an idea.
All right. As you guys are conversing, the caribou kind of lowers its head a bit, exposing its, you know, its large spatula-like horns. And it starts moving towards you, kind of slowly.
Is this a caribou or a moose?
Caribou.
Okay.
Pat at the ready.
I'm going to say, let us walk away.
I'm going to move up towards it carefully.
All right. As you move up towards it, it rears back its head and it makes a very disconcerting sound. Paul, being a hunter, this is, you've heard this before. This is natural. This is a challenge call. It's like it's defending its territory. Normally it would do that if it had children and a mate around. But to Lorenzo, who probably hasn't spent a heck of a lot of time out in the wild, it's quite frightening as the thing bellows as it raises its head.
I bellow back.
You started it.
So Lorenzo, well, how do you react to this, Lorenzo? So you're heading towards it, and it starts bellowing at you, snoring, being very aggressive.
Probably freeze for the moment while I assess the situation.
Okay, I see, Lorenzo. Your notice roll for the scene is a 3. So as you're getting this close to it, you notice that his eyes seem to be pupilless and black.
Is that normal? I can wonder that while the next thing happens. Wait a minute.
Yes for the black, no for the pupilless.
So, Paul, do you actually do bellow out a challenging sound as well?
F yeah.
All right, it charges.
I charge it.
Well, Lorenzo is closer. Since he was walking towards it, it's much closer to, let's have Lorenzo and it act, first, and then we'll see what goes on. So Lorenzo, we'll start the reaction with you since you approached it. What are you doing? It definitely is charging, seeming to react to Paul's bellow behind you.
As I have been careful and cautious so far, I should entirely expect him to be able to dodge out of the way. It would be my main reaction.
Okay.
Tactical roll if you must, but yes.
Yeah, definitely make a roll.
No, tactical roll. As in tactically rolling.
Yes.
Do I haste? Focus? What does reaction roll go under?
Well, it depends on how you're doing it. To me, it sounds like haste, since you're okay. Trying to roll out of the
way. We'll go with haste.
All right.
Woo!
Oh, nice.
A roll under its feet.
All right.
It could roll worse.
Got a net zero. Well,
still beats me.
It failed, but still with a zero, it fails to actually strike you. So it's more of a glancing blow. So as you, you almost step in its way instead of trying to step away from it. And as it lowers, its horns, you're
trying to fake myself out of the way and don't quite make it in time. Whoops.
Yeah, so you kind of get body checked and you go spinning off, but you don't get the horns, and it continues its path right towards Paul.
Using Lorenzo as a distraction, I try to step to the side and sideswipe it with my knife, quick drawing it from my back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Guile?
Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
I do so.
All right, it got on a one, so you get a net 2 points of damage on it as you rake its flank. And you notice, what is your notice roll? Paul was zero.
Wasn't great.
Yeah, so it oozes something that does not look like blood to you. It's more of a fact that it sticks to your knife, and you know it's definitely viscous, more viscous.
Well,
than
it's been
be.
Established before that my knife is actually something special.
Mm-hmm.
It is my usual countermeasures for supernatural things, mm-hmm. and once per session, you may declare you happen to have a countermeasure on hand that nullifies the effect of scale from a supernatural condition or stunt for the current scene. At the GM's discretion, the stunt can also nullify other effects of supernatural powers, such as by avoiding a soul gaze or seeing through a glamour. So basically my knife is a fairy weapon.
Okay, so you're going to invoke it for this scene?
Yes.
As your once per? Okay. All right, good enough. But again, you are drawn to the fact that the blood is not acting like you would expect it to act.
But is it reacting negatively to my knife?
No.
No? All right.
Not any more than a wild beast cut with a knife would act.
It burns!
Yeah. Eddie.
Catches on fire.
Kneecapping it.
All right, go for it. Yes, he comes down with his bat. Ooh. What does that look like as you break a couple of legs?
So he's just slashed in the side and I get ready to turn towards him to continue fighting, and I take out the back two legs from underneath of it.
Okay. There's a resounding crack as his bat makes contact, and you all wince a little as, you know, that's definitely the sound of breaking bone. The caribou goes down, and again, it's just this challenge from its voice is coming out, and it's trying to right itself to get up, but its legs are not responding. And then out of its rear flank, black tentacles
That's not a good sentence to start with. That was weird, Frank.
Out and replace its two broken legs. It kind of lifts itself up on these things, its legs dangling beneath it as it turns to face the lot of you again.
I knew this would be fun.
Yep. Right, so you're all now very aware that this is not natural.
I think the wizard's here.
The crows above are now circling as well. So, who wants the first action this round?
Well, the wizard doesn't want to do anything.
No, I'm going to see if y'all can kill it without me. Because I don't want to unload on it a bunch of... Anyways, I'm just standing.
All right. Well, Paul, what are you doing?
He's going, having slung his shotgun on its strap across his back, he's going to lunge and stab a mofo.
All right, go for it.
This is going to be hasty, I think, because he's doing it quick-like.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I stab him good.
Yeah.
Wow. So
real good.
How does this thing go down?
Bert isn't even... No, Bert did roll. So...
Oh.
To get a 6. So I have 2 styles on this thing. So Paul just races forward, slides underneath, and just drags his knife along the underside as he pops out the other side. Stands up and flicks the knife, throwing blood off as the beast just bursts open underneath and spills its guts onto the ground.
Mm-hmm. So even with your low notice roll, you can't help but notice this as the entrails come out. It smells rotted, like it's been dead for a long time. Just disgusting stench comes from beneath it. Who goes next? So Paul, you choose. Who goes next?
Can I give them any bonus since I got like 2 with styles?
No.
Correct against the creature, yes.
Yeah, but the creature is dead, so it doesn't.
But the creature is dead.
Yes.
I use my styles to have my teammates be very impressed with what I've done. But
it's not very effective.
No, don't argue with the roll. It's very impressive. I'm going to have Lorenzo go next.
All right, Lorenzo.
Okay. Shotgun up, looking around, taking in the situation.
Right, so there are circling crows that are also acting as if they are not completely natural. 5 of them circling above you.
5 now. Oh, crap. Okay, let's have the crows go next.
Okay, so you're just
assessing the situation. That's all. I'm not shooting them because shotgun versus crow is not very effective.
Actually, okay. They're very effective.
Give me a roll. I have to assess the situation.
Okay, focus?
Yeah, sounds good.
Is it any better than I got before? Yeah, it is actually.
All right, so that's going to replace your notice for the scene.
Yeah.
All right, so they go.
Man, we're bringing the heat.
They dive. 3 of them dive at Paul. 2 of them dive at Wilbur.
Yay!
Yep. And they're basically essentially just giving them they're the more that are attacking, the higher their value is. They're acting as like a swarm. All right, so defend against that, Paul, as they come down at you, streaking towards your eyes.
Time to hastily duck out of the way, I think. I do not. I just wildly bring my arms over my eyes, leaving my poor checkered shirt sleeve.
Right, so you're blinded. You take 3 points of damage, however you want to do that. Either mark them off. Or
stress.
Yep. But on top of that, the spin that they get is that you're momentarily blinded as they rake at your eyes.
No.
And then the 2 that come down on Wilbur, also trying the same thing. Ooh.
I'm going to try to take my staff and beat them.
All right, so you're going to forcefully defend.
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, take 2 points as you're able to keep them off of your face and eyes by putting up your staff and arms, and they just rake your arm a little.
Just because it's been a while, you mean take a box two?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's just been a while.
And we will say Wilbur can go next.
So did I take a box three then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Fate Accelerated meant...
The Accelerated is you mark each one. One, two, three. Yeah. Okay. Not just box three.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I couldn't remember. I thought, no, yeah. Okay. Better set or accelerated like that. Or...
Yep.
Yeah.
Thought I did it, right?
I'm going to try to club. I'm going to try to see what I've seen the Inuit do and club me a car, except act like it's a baby seal.
All right, go ahead.
And apparently, my Inuit techniques did not work.
You rolled a zero.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, you just miss. All right, so who goes next? You choose Nick.
I think Eddie's the only one that hasn't gone.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so yeah. Eddie. You are not personally being attacked, so you will, and they're, you know, they
you might feel attacked. It's up to you. Yeah.
And then they're flying back into the air, so unless you've got some kind of ranged item, they won't be in range of your club.
But I was standing right next to Paul.
Fair enough. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can take a swing at it.
And he has a baseball bat.
Yeah, sure. I'll say you can get it on the backswing before...
if he rolls a zero, can he hit Paul?
If he rolls less than a zero, he might hit Paul.
Six.
Four. Okay. Let's see what we do here. Oh, minus one. You hit... Okay, so you essentially take two of the three out with one swing. Yeah, they splash to the ground again as they hit, and they kind of burst open to this just smell of just decayed animal. One of them is actually filled with worms.
Gross.
Yep.
You'd think for being Winterborn, it'd be better with this death thing.
All right, so Eddie, who goes next? New round.
New round, yeah.
Yep.
Lorenzo.
New round, who does?
Actually, I'm sorry. Wait. No, I'm doing this wrong. So Eddie went, so you get to go at the beginning of the round since you went last round. So yeah, Eddie, the one flew out of your range and the other two are out of your range of your bat, but what do?
Assuming with the four perception I rolled earlier, I can tell that Paul is momentarily blinded. I'll be acting to block any additional attacks at him.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So you can take an attack upon yourself too, against Paul. That's fine. So who goes next then, Eddie?
Passing to Lorenzo.
Okay. Just to check, no one's fired a gun yet, right?
No one's fired a gun yet.
Okay. I'm reluctant to do so. So I'm going to go and join Wilbur and help cover him.
Okay.
Can I get the old police battalion out? Do we have asps at this point?
You can if you want.
Yeah, sure. So I've got an asp.
All right, who's next then?
Wilbur.
All right, Wilbur.
Now that the crow's gone not too long.
I am going to see who the crows cry for and see if I can't. Club me one.
All right, so you just kind of hold and wait till one comes into range?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I didn't think they had fully swung out, but yeah.
Well, then they're the last ones to move, so they go...
No, Paul's the last one. Yeah.
So,
Crows will go before Lorenzo.
No, not Lorenzo.
For Paul.
Paul, I'm sorry.
All right, so one of them wings off. It's catching altitude, heading up the mountain. The other two continue down, and they seem to have a taste for Wilbur. So since you were waiting for this, you can go ahead and attack as they come down at you, Wilbur.
All right. Aha!
No! Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. How do you dispatch both of them?
nice. Wow.
Listening audience, Wilbur rolled 4. Bert rolled -4.
I think back to the Inuit clubbing the baby seals, and I go, oh, yes, downward stroke. unfortunately, the two birds decided to fly directly parallel to each other, straight at my face. So when I made my downward stroke, the first one caught, and then I managed to catch the second one in one smooth motion, and then flipped them off into the wilderness.
Right.
And then I'm going to say, shoot that one. I will point.
Unfortunately, the next guy to go is temporarily blind and didn't see Wilbur be at all cool. Bert, would you say I could now be in pursuit of my prey?
No, because you are blinded.
Hmm. Yes.
You can take this turn to clear your blinded.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. That's about all you can do, really.
Yep.
But this is actually a condition I would be marking when I name a specific supernatural creature. I don't know he's technically supernatural.
Well, not only that, you're not in pursuit because you can't even see it at this point. So.
In pursuit is condition, though, not a whether I can see it or not.
Yeah, but
don't argue with the GM.
You were not in combat with it. You were not. Yeah, so no.
We'll have time to use.
Anyway, what would you like me to roll to clear my blindness?
You just take the action to clear it. You're just wiping the blood out of your eyes. That's all.
I am wiping the blood out of my eyes. Blinking furiously. Yep. Somebody else shoot it, I say, and mark which direction it's going. And the next person most like to shoot it, as this would be a new round, am I right?
Yeah, which means you
is act at the beginning Lorenzo.
Of the round. No, you act at the beginning of the round, since you're the last at the end of the round.
Okay, so I now can see?
Yes.
I look up. I have a nice shotgun.
Yes, you do.
I mark which direction it's flying. And I pull up and pull the trigger.
Sure. It has had a whole round of movement, so we're going to consider this to be at the long range of your shotgun. So roll at a minus two.
Minus two. I'm doing this with flair as I just slung off the shotgun from my back, pull up, and take a shot real quick.
Sounds more like haste.
Yeah, but it's with flair.
Yeah, I'll take
or haste. Well, they're the same, so...
Go ahead.
Hey.
Four. Nice.
Is that with the minus two?
That is not with the minus two. It'd be a two.
All right. So it binks, and your shotgun your blast goes wide as it continues on.
Unless I choose...
Yeah, you can spend some aspects if you want.
I will choose a... use a fate point.
All right. What are you tapping? And
carefree outdoorsman.
Sure. If you just do it as a plus two, that'll give you a plus one, and that's enough to hit it.
Yep.
Yep. All right. It goes down.
There. It's down.
Yep.
And we'll probably need to go that way. I point in the direction the crow flew.
The silent town echoes with the sound of the shotgun blast.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. There is a pick your poison. And I don't think these things run. These are not the types of things that just run for no cause. So
it could well have some sort of group conflict anyway. So
yes, that's true. But if it's running, that would imply that it's a scout rather than it's just.
Anyway,
remind me to make my bow and arrow next time.
Crit check to make sure we're all still alive and a suitable situation.
Yep. And also, as you're taking a look around with your new improved notice roll there, Lorenzo, you notice that on the building that's more intact than the rest of them, there is a shiny new padlock covering one of the large entry doors that I said were like big enough to get a truck in.
Hmm. Look, a shiny new padlock.
Do we need to do any purification so this black gunk doesn't screw up the land?
I think it's too... I think you're bolting the doors after the horse is out.
You actually did this against a worm, so you purified the land before.
Yes, but that was... This is not... Like... You're talking about like a teaspoon of salt when we're sitting on the salt. You know, this guy's been doing evil outsider stuff in this area. So therefore, yeah, I.
Oh, they sit around and discuss this. I'm going to go look at the house.
All right. All the windows, even though the glass has long since been broken out, have been boarded over. The boards are a lot more recent than the other wood around. As I said, shiny new padlock, good thick chain that it's hooked to. It's barring the entrance doors.
Take a listen for see if I hear anything.
Okay. No.
What's the padlock? What's the chain chained to?
Essentially, it's got these wrought iron handles and hinges. It seems to have weathered pretty well. I mean, they're rusted, but they still look strong, as does the wood that the doors are made out of. And it has a chain that's just kind of woven through these iron handles and then latched with a padlock. You know, it's just a generic, you know, like master lock that you could buy at any convenience store. Yeah. But it is new, and that kind of stands out.
Circle the house. Is there any other doors?
There are plenty of other what used to be entrances, but they're all boarded up. I mean, not that you couldn't take a lever to it and pop them open, but they've all been boarded up so that you can't see inside.
Oh, well, they know we're here anyway. So if I can get the others' attention, I'll get them to come over and cover me while I open the door physically, like. We'll get Eddie to open the door. There we go. Get the troll to open the door. Hey, Eddie. Strong man. Come over here and pull something.
All right. Using the conveniently existent crowbar to start propping the boards off the door.
Yep. So, you know, it just takes a few moments for you. Your force, I'm sure, is high enough for you to just pop them off with your hands.
Yeah. That's why I got him to do it.
Yep. All right, so you open up what used to be a ground floor window. This is probably used to bring in fresh air at one time. It's fairly wide. The inside it's dusty. There is sunlight coming in through cracks in the ceiling. The one thing that does get your attention is that there is a railed stairway that leads down. And it is covered with a new steel door. Like, it's brand new. Someone had just welded a steel door over the stairway that goes down into the foundation of the property.
Okay. Was it any feel of a threshold here as you come, if you're coming in?
Yeah. I'll go over there. I'll take a look, see.
Yeah, no feeling of a threshold at all.
Okay. I will make some appropriately mystic gestures while I do this. Ooh. And then I'll
turn it. Yeah, it looks like you're right about the mines. I'm guessing this goes direct to.
Well, oh, okay. So this is, there's no like bedroll or anything like that here?
Yeah, the floors are pretty dusty. I mean, you do see some like booted prints in some of the dust. Since it was all pretty much sealed up, the dust doesn't move around in here much. So, but you can obviously tell that there were recently people through here. And, you know, the dust prints go down to where the big iron door is.
This building was not where the crow was flying, correct?
No, the crow was flying up the mountain. Like
people, as in we can see different size shoe prints.
Yes, more than one. Looks like most of them were wearing boots. There's a couple here that are smaller. Looks like they're tennis shoes. Could be kids, could be women.
They're women.
And so all of you that had your notice roll above a one, which I think is everybody except for Paul, the steel door, the new steel door that's covering the stairwell going down, there's a single, like stamped into the metal, there's a single odd image on the lower right edge. And all of you have recently seen Rapa Nui text. It's come up a few times. So that looks like one of the symbols off of the different Rapa Nui texts that you've seen. Hmm. Looks like a fish with legs.
This looks familiar, but I can't remember where else we've done it because it's been a while.
What does that? Oh.
Did I open the door?
Yeah, sure.
So, what, Bert, what does the Rapa Nui?
No one knows. No one's been able to decipher what the text means. Like this.
Okay,
is.
But where did we see it before?
Several times it's come up. It was odd because Rapa Nui text was something that was found on Easter Island. Natives of Easter Island, the surviving natives don't even remember how to read it or what it means. It was before them. So it's a mystery as to, yeah. But odd because it's been found in Alaska. When it was, its genesis is Easter Island.
So we currently believe these were different peoples. Or by the latest scientific theories that these are different series of peoples. Very odd. All right.
And now that your attention is brought to it, that metal door definitely has a threshold.
Okay. So someone is living past that metal door, gentlemen. So, I will be significantly weaker. Yay! And so will everyone else who's magically powered. I look to the three out four magically powered people.
I grunt non-committally.
Any wards?
No.
Okay.
Fairly powerful threshold, but it's being you weren't able to detect it before because it seems to be encompassed on specifically the threshold here, and the metal seems to be muting it a bit. But now that you're in the room with it, you can sense it.
Gotcha.
Pretty strong threshold, but no ward.
Yeah, well.
So we're gonna knock on the door or go in SWAT style.
Well, can we open the door? Was the question. I'm asking not the GM, I'm asking Rick, can you open the door? Can you open the door? I know you're able to. Is it heavy? I don't know.
Yeah. Eddie, if you want to try, give me a force roll. This is pure brute strength. Okay. Yeah, Eddie, you start pulling at it. And, you get a good hold on the two handles and you start pulling. There's definitely a bar or an obstruction on the other side, but you just keep at it. And over time, you're able to bend what does, in fact, end up being a bar on the other side. So you bend it enough that you're able to pop it open. The inside bar finally breaks and just goes rattling down the stairwell.
Yeah, just a little fuck. I got it.
Give Eddie a pat on the shoulder and after
it wasn't
you?
Easy. It took you like a full couple of minutes to do it. But you were it.
Good boy, have a stupid cat.
All right. So
who's going first?
You, the stairwell goes down below. It's much tidier, cleaner. You can definitely feel motion of air. So I'll just say that there is a motion of air down there. No light, it's dark.
Any light switch?
Well, you'll have to go down the stairwell to find out.
Well, I mean, up at the top, so.
Nothing at the top.
All right, I'll go first.
All right.
Can I do the flashlight on the shotgun type thing?
Yeah, I'd assume you have that, sure.
Cool.
At the very bottom, you do see that there's some new aluminum conduit that's been run along the wall, and there is a switch box here.
Well, the element of surprise is long, but find out, so flick.
Okay. Some dim lights do come on and illuminate the chamber below. What you have is a wooden floor. This used to be some kind of storage building by all the racks that are down here. You see some old machinery down here as well. But it looks like someone had cut into the mountainside below and has adjoined a mining tunnel. So someone's blown out the bottom of the cellar and adjoined it into a tunnel. So the lights string out and they go, you're facing north, it's kind of running east-west. There's definitely a flow of air.
Okay. I'll be back in a moment.
Mm-hmm. Let us follow. Let's see if we can't proceed forth.
Okay, you're going east or west? West seems to be slanting up and east seems to be going down.
So west is up and what's east?
It feels like east is going down, like it's going down the mountainside, or at least it's declining. Whereas
up, west, I would think, yeah. As the crow was flying towards the mountain, maybe an alternate entrance.
Could be. So the question is whether or not we think he would be doing his deeds at the surface or deep below. I would say deep.
I'm almost certain that he is deep below, but I also don't want to be caught surprised by his workforce or whatever is housed at the top. Rather not be pinched between an abomination.
I think the one that goes down goes to an entrance elsewhere in the mine that just happens to be down lower in the mine on the mountainside. I think the one going up goes further into the mountain. And that would be the direction I would go.
I mean, then two out of three party members say go up. We go up.
I look for tracks.
Yeah, there are a great number of booted prints, much like you saw in the former room, heading both up and down. This is a dirt floor, so the prints stay quite a while.
Yeah.
Actually, right. Your notice roll of 5 that you got. You can make out at least 5, maybe 6 individual prints. So at least 5 or 6 individuals.
Oh, well, there's 4 of us. I'm sure we can take them. Up you say. All right.
Who's in the lead? You could go 2 side by side, but it'd be a little tight.
I'm in the lead because everyone else is too reluctant to say anything quickly enough. So I'll be by myself covering, sort of going forward with shotgun and flashlight up, not having anyone beside me so I can swing side to side without having to worry about knocking into anyone.
As the only other person that sounds like they have a shotgun, I am behind Lorenzo.
Thief goes in the back, the wizard goes in the middle.
Yay!
So
standard
as you,
party alignment.
You start climbing up the tunnel. It's pretty much just, it doesn't branch until, you know, you're walking for a good 5-10 minutes before you do see a branch that goes off to the left a bit as it continues up as well. The feeling of moving air is stronger. You could actually smell the forest, so there's a natural opening somewhere probably above. And you do have this branching corridor that goes off to the left.
Well, it's a mine, so they'd have ventilation shafts.
I don't really have any opinion as to which way to go. I'll just pause and listen.
Look for tracks.
Okay. Tracks go in both directions, but if you're pausing to listen, Lorenzo, you hear the faint sound of music off to the left. Very faint.
So I whistle to them. I hear music this way and go that way.
Okay. It doesn't take you long. The tunnel widens out, and it looks like this area has been used as something of a dorm or a place to stay. There are several hammocks that have been strung across the wall. The place has been made a bit homey as there's a carpet laid down on the ground. The strains of music are coming from a radio that's plugged into the wall here. You see some cigarettes laying around, some old microwave meal packet type of things. There's a microwave sitting in the corner. A few knickknacks here and there. There's six total of these cots strung up on the wall. And it kind of just dead ends here.
Kind of odd to leave the radio playing.
How many beds and...
Six beds.
Do the standard check to make sure nothing's still warm and thus someone's hiding here and sort of...
Right, other than the radio was left on at very low volume, it doesn't look like anyone has recently been here.
And it's a dead end?
It's dead ends here.
Oh, well, so there doesn't seem to be anyone here. Back and to the right. Go up the other branch.
The other branch continues to climb until you hit a point where tunnel stops, but there is a ladder that has been anchored into the rock face that goes up. And this is definitely the strongest amount of airflow that you felt here at the bottom of this. It doesn't go up very far. The ladder is new, recently anchored. Hasn't even started to rust yet.
I think this is the entryway, but let's take a peek out up top. Want me to go first?
Thanks.
Go for it.
He hasn't been that great at spotting things. Thanks. I'll go check first.
All right, so Paul, you peek your head up.
Lorenzo is. All right,
so yeah, Lorenzo is. Paul hasn't really been there, but basically, he's been distracted too much recently.
It was from being pecked in the eyes by crows.
You come up finding yourself a few feet into the entrance of a mine shaft. It looks like where this ladder was put in, there's a big rift here, like where the ground broke at some point. And you can see the entrance to the mine here has been covered up with a bunch of just foliage. It's been leaned across the front of the mine. You want to peek out?
Sure.
All right. So you're looking out at the lake that is situated at the top of the mountain, and there is one of the little water planes just tied off. Someone had made like a canopy to go over the top of it so you couldn't see the plane from the air. And there's even like a floating wharf that's been set up over here.
Neat.
No sign of anyone, though. The door of the plane is opened and it is, you know, it's been anchored off, but you don't see anyone out here.
Okay, after having a good check to make sure there's no one happening, I'll go back and report to the others.
All right, let's backtrack, I guess. Down it is.
Do we want to disable their plane while we're up here?
That's what I was thinking.
But we could use the plane, so...
Does it have keys? You can just take the keys out?
I mean...
Can any of us fly?
Sure.
All right, then you got to have a look and see if there's anything you can do to make it that only you can fly.
Take a spark plug, if nothing else. Easy enough to disable the engine for very temporary inconvenience.
Yeah, the keys were not left in it. The doors were left open. The floating wharf has some gas cans around, aviation fuel by the smell of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you wanted to pull out a spark plug or something like that, you can do that.
Yeah, pull a wire or something.
Okay. Down we go.
All right, heading down. Who's in the lead and who's in the rear?
Same formation as earlier stated, I think.
Yeah, Eddie's in the rear because he can actually take a punch.
All right, you head further down. It is getting a little bit more stifled as you go further down. The airflow isn't as good. Eddie. I'm gonna have to take it on your notice roll that you had, which is pretty good at a four.
Yeah, still pretty good.
Okay, as you go down further, you're the last one to pass a certain point in this tunnel, Eddie, and you hear it's just like a pop or a spark. And you know, and that kind of gets your interest. So you pause for just a moment to see what's happening. And then all of you feel a rumble. Eddie, you're the last one in line. The crossbeam that's kind of holding the tunnel open and are keeping the tunnel from caving in. You've been, you know, passing several of these. Crossbeam just exploded. You've got a fraction of a moment. What do you do? Do you dive out or do you stay in?
Dive out.
Okay. The rest of you guys, there's a cave in. The brace is splintered. And actually, it explodes. Definitely, well, Eddie would have been the only one to notice. But a mountain, literal, of rock falls down behind you, cutting you off. Eddie, you're on the other side of that.
I am assuming they've been buried by dirt and such, so I'm digging frantically with my hands to try to get to them.
Okay, what do the rest of you guys do?
Do we get covered in dirt and rock and mountain?
No, you do not. It was just the one spot that you passed by, and the electrical cuts off.
So you just got my flashlight.
Yep.
Flashlight.
Unless the wizard wants to do some light, but I kick at the dirt, and it's like, should we go on? You want to communicate with Eddie at all? Tap on the wall. No?
Yeah, well, I thought you were doing it, not just saying it. All right.
All right. Since you're talking, Eddie, you can hear Paul's voice. Barely, but you can hear Paul talking.
I'm taking you guys out. I'll be there in a little bit.
Be gone, foul spirit.
All right. Yeah, he yelled that, I assume, so you guys can hear Eddie.
Do we feel any airflow?
Not much at all.
Does it look like there's anything more that's going to collapse, particularly if you start digging things out? As much as I have, you know, cave knowledge.
Make me a roll.
Intellect, I assume?
Yes.
Yay! Zero! Me no intellect. Yeah, me no intellect. The whole thing's gonna come down.
Yeah, you have no idea. Yeah. You're pretty certain that it will all come down on your head.
I'm not worried about being trapped here, guys. Maybe I'll take you along with me if it comes to it. But maybe we should also go ahead and proceed onward. See if this wasn't just a trap.
This whole place is gonna come down. We need to find another way out.
I got another way out. We should proceed that way anyway.
All right. You going to tell Eddie anything? He's still frantically digging.
Eddie, see if you can find another way around. Go backtrack. Try to find another entrance to the mine.
Okay.
Yep. His faint voice. Okay, you guys start heading further down. With Lorenzo's flashlight being your lone light source.
Yep. At least others have flashlights too, I don't know.
As you're heading down, again, you don't have the breeze anymore. Things are getting a bit stifling and feeling closed in down here. Lorenzo, you start hearing the sounds of squeaking.
Look up.
Yeah, nothing. Then as you're playing your flashlight around, you see something in the distance heading this way. And then you realize it's a carpet of mice or rats heading your way.
How wide is this tunnel?
It's not quite enough for two of you to comfortably stand side by side.
Yeah. Incoming swarm of some kind, guys. Up on the walls, as in brace arms on one side, feet on the other side, and raise up.
Okay. I follow Lorenzo's lead and at the same time say, "Wizard, do something!"
Yeah, so I was checking wide enough that you could actually could reach both sides of it to push yourself up.
I am...
possibly get covered with rats. You know, your choice.
I am going to see if I can create a wall area.
All right. Okay. Go ahead and give me a roll with your spell casting, but you passed a threshold. Do it at -4.
Ooh.
Well,
ooh.
Yeah, you don't know this until you try the first time to do your magic. So, yeah, go ahead and make the roll.
Well, that's a -1, so...
Okay, well, -1. Do you want to spend any aspects to try and kick that up?
Nah.
You do feel that there is definitely a resistance, but...
Yeah. Up to you. I'm not going to spend aspects to kick this one up. I'm just going to go, well... Whoops.
This is where I die.
Yep, this is the end. I'm going to peace out the other direction.
Back to the dead end wall.
See if I can't go up it.
Oh, okay, so you're gonna climb over the debris to try and get a higher vantage. All right, fair enough.
Yep.
In the dark, okay. Where you can't see, even better.
Right, so carpet of rats come down and kind of fill the bottom of the tunnel. You guys have kind of climbed yourself up to the side. You know, the ceilings here are fairly good size. I mean, not really tall, but tall enough that you're several feet up off the ground. The carpet continues through to the back where below you, Wilbur, you can hear them squeaking about. Some of them attempt to climb. But not well. It seems like getting up to where you are has bought you some amount of safety. But they do know you there, and they do all appear to be very, very hungry for your tender flesh.
They don't get an Eastern boy off that often.
Yep. Again, they seem to be not acting naturally. They seem to be more...
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
The carpet of flesh thing was a good indicator that maybe these rats aren't natural beings. I'm going to say out, can't really do magic now.
Damn it, don't have a thermite grenade on me.
I'm very happy for that in this enclosed space.
While you guys are doing that, let's cut to Eddie for a moment. Eddie, they asked you to try and find another entrance to the lower mines. Are you going to do that, or do you have something else in mind?
Well, he was going to. And then when he went outside to the top of the mountain, he saw the gas cans, and he's like, I can use those to blow the hole open to let him out. So he picks up one of the cans and starts to go back down the ladder. And about the time he gets to the bottom of the ladder, he's like, wait, I don't have matches. And if I try to use my...
Well, you do remember metal. That the room with the cots had cigarettes. Might be a matchbook or a lighter laying around in there somewhere.
That's a great idea.
Is it a great idea?
It's a fantastic idea. Shut your mouth.
I will point you to his trouble, which is using brains is hard, brawn is easy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, tell me how you go about your your plan here. You got a fuel tank full of gasoline. You are able to find a book of matches.
I try to find a newspaper or something else so I have a little bit more throw.
Sure. You find some wadded up newspaper in there as well. Right. Or you could even use a bed sheet if you wanted to.
So grabbing the stuff I need and heading back to the blockage and dousing the stuff on there. And given the placement of the rest of the team, I'll put it to you, Bert. Since using brains is hard, he wouldn't think, he may not think, as in compel, to warn anybody if they happen to be on the other side that there's going to be a bow.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, you can take a chip for that. You failed to warn anyone. Although, with Wilbur being against that back wall and him having his notice that he does, Wilbur, is that the smell of gasoline?
I believe this is what we call into out to the
frying pan. You're cutting in and out there.
This is what now? What do we call this?
We call this being out of the frying pan and fire. As there is a carpet of flesh in between me and my exit. And yet, if I stay here, I'm going to die in a horrible explosion.
Yep, you smell gasoline as some of the gasoline that you're pouring, Eddie, is going through the rock and making its way across the floor in the next room.
Well, I guess I'm just going to try to run past the little ratlings.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Okay, are you going to do that now, or are you going to wait for something to happen?
I will ask, can some of y'all just like start killing these things?
That's what we brought a wizard around for. He's not very good, though.
Look, idiot. If I wanted your opinion on talkie-talkie, I would ask for that. I want your stabby-stabby.
How much are they, is it like surging back and forth underneath us? Does it look like there's an edge we can see to the mass, or is it just completely utterly covered?
Once they've crammed themselves into the tunnel, there's definitely an end to them. It's not like an endless mass of rats you can see.
Okay.
Yeah. But as you guys are talking and making barbed comments at one another, Eddie lights the match. Sets everything on fire. Since it's not contained, there's no explosion, but everything does go on fire. The aviation fluid that trickled through the bottom lights up, and so that first wave of rats that are towards the back end of the tunnel are immediately caught on fire, and as it kind of progresses through from their matted fur. So, Nick, you're relatively safe for the moment, as the fuel that has spread across the floor is the only thing ignited, but you can quickly tell that the rock that your back is against is getting really warm. Really, really warm.
Oh, yes, and there's never been any case of people being overwhelmed by fumes.
Yes, especially since, the air, I had said, was getting stifling.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so, actions. I guess we should start with Nick.
They refused to help me. Instead, they just threw insults.
I was asking a question or two. I didn't actually get a chance to do my thing.
Yep, so I'm just going to have to run out. The rats don't consume me.
Okay, well, give me a roll.
I assume haste, because haste I am having
makes the most sense, yes.
Yep.
So essentially, this is going to be a versus. Oh,
yeah. Well,
keep that, or do you want to tap an aspect?
I'm going to have to tap an aspect of, I have nothing to tap, so I'm going to have to keep that. I am
Are
not
you sure?
You got something.
You got nothing.
I'm not nothing. A physical. Yeah, I'm not a physical character.
Okay. Well, I rolled a -1, so they failed to hit you, but with your -1 towards your trying to run. So what's going on is you're stepping on the backs of these burning rats who are not, there seem to be, while they're being consumed by fire, they're not as useful in biting you. So you get a little way, but then you kind of slip up on their fur and you go sprawling in the gas and in the rats. The fire has not yet reached this far, but you are, we're going to give you the aspect of that you're covered. You're soaked in gasoline.
There we go.
And laying amongst a bunch of rats. So who has the next action, Wilbur?
I will give it to Lorenzo.
All right. And how close is he to us?
closer now since he's come back, probably within your light range, so you saw exactly what happened.
Okay. Jump down, grab him, and run down past the rats. There's the intention. How much of that ends up being action, I don't know. The intention is to drop down, pick him up, and drag him away.
Okay. Sounds like haste to me. What is your force rating?
Two. No, all three. Right. Three is force.
Okay, so yeah, you're a sturdy guy. You can pick him up easily enough. So it's just a matter of haste then to see how far or how fast you can move before the gasoline catches up.
Pretty fast. Pretty fast.
Okay, yeah. You bolt down the tunnel as the rats start igniting behind you. Who has the next action?
Well, Paul, most likely. We'll give the rats last chance, or they give the most chance to soak.
Oh, yeah, so the rats were nipping at your feet there, but don't really do anything to you.
Two plus fours in a row?
Yeah. But he rolled a five, so you're still good. Paul, what are you doing? Lorenzo just ran by you, carrying Wilbur.
The gasoline, it's in my eye!
I just sigh heavily. Do an eye roll, drop, and chase after them now that the rats are actually chasing them. I like to think that the rats are fleeing me and not the flames.
Yeah. All right. So you give me a roll as well because you have flames and rats that you're trying to outmaneuver here.
Ooh.
Well, they could do worse. Well, they do the same. So you're not nibbled by the rats. But with a zero, you are definitely at the rear as the gasoline ignites and is coming up behind you. So villains go last because they're part of the sequence. Eddie, it didn't explode like you hoped, but it seems like the heat is causing the rock and the boulders, the dirt to shift. So it looks like you might get a way through here anyway. It just didn't explode like you hoped it would. All right.
Am
so,
I having to worry about billowing black smoke?
Not yet. Not yet. All right. So you're okay with the fire, it looks like. Paul, bringing up the rear. The fire is licking at your heels. You're standing in rivulets of gasoline as you're running along.
I just laugh maniacally.
Villains or conditions start the new round. So again, okay, so Paul, give me another haste roll. This is in defense. Oh, good. The flames start licking up the edge of the tunnel. It's right on your heels.
I'm suddenly feeling motivated.
Yes, you put on a burst of speed and you catch up to Lorenzo. You guys are running as quickly as you can down the corridor as the corridor behind you is filling up with flames. And you see ahead of you that there's an opening. It opens up into a cavern. You have a momentary glimpse of railings and some kind of walkway as you burst out. And you cut left or you cut right? Lorenzo, you're in the lead. You cut left or do you cut right?
Is there any... I know I don't have a lot of time to think, but actually I prefer to... Is there a place I can leap over to?
Well, what it looks like you're coming up to close is a railing right in front of you and like a walkway that goes to the left and to the right. You don't know what's over that railing. You could leap it and find out.
Yeah, I'm just thinking I've already got momentum at this point. I don't want to try and lump into the railing. I'm going to go over the railing.
All right.
I'm taking Wilbur with me.
Yep.
Doesn't have a choice. Leap. What am I rolling?
All right. Don't have to roll anything just yet. So that was your action, Lorenzo. Pick who's next.
Wilbur.
Well, Wilbur, you're in free fall with Lorenzo falling into the darkness.
Oh, excellent news. I'm going to try to see. Is there...
It's he's got a flashlight that is kind of bobbing around and not really pointed to the ground yet or whatever's below you. If you want to assess the situation, you can go ahead and just go ahead and give me a roll for that and see what's coming up.
See the many of your teeth.
I'm going to take a few seconds and regret the decisions I've made in life that
all right. Below you seems to be a tank of some liquid. That's the best you can tell before you dive into it with Lorenzo.
Take of the drug, yes.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Paul, you cut left, you cut right, or do you just leap over the barricade like Lorenzo did?
I cut right.
Okay, you cut right, just as the tunnel fills with flame and comes shooting out. You cut just in time. Lorenzo, there is a brilliant amount of light right above you as you splash into a vat of something with Wilbur. At the other end, Eddie, the wall of dirt and rock crumble. There is a backwash of heat, but then it looks like tunnel's clear. You don't see anybody, though. You see a lot of rats. A lot of dead rats.
Hey, guys, I got it open!
Paul, you hear that echoing down the chamber.
Guys!
Good work, buddy!
So, Paul, you're in the dark. You're holding on to...
Well, there was some light behind him a moment.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's still a little bit of flames around. Enough that you can tell that you're on some kind of walkway that's overhanging some kind of facility below you. There's a railing that you're gripping onto. You heard a big splash as Lorenzo, carrying Wilbur, leaped over. All right, Lorenzo and Wilbur, you seem to have landed safely in a tank of something.
God, I hope that's moonshine. Nope, it's not moonshine.
Now, the question you have to ask is, did Bert move the tank here, given that I jumped over the railing?
Very well could have. Let's
swim to the side. Yeah, trying to swim out.
The flashlight still work so we could assess the situation.
Yeah, so the flashlight's still attached to a shotgun, which he still has hold of. Whatever the fluid is viscous, is thick. Kind of got a neutral smell, though. It doesn't really smell like anything. So flashlight, you're in what looks like a steel, perhaps a stainless steel tank. This thing probably holds upwards of 100, 150 gallons of fluid.
Oh.
What color?
It is. It's kind of a grayish clear.
As much as flashlight's not going to give you great amounts of color.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, but it's not black though. It's kind of clearish, but a little occluded. It's not completely clear. The tanks. So you're pretty. You landed right in the center of this thing. So you had to. It's got a fair amount of depth, but it's not very wide. Around you can see a bunch of machinery. All of this stuff looks pretty new.
Oh, good.
All right. Can we climb out is the question.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, I mean, I am going to... is there any lighting or lamps around here?
It looks like there is lighting, but you're not seeing any switch. The light just cut off after the rock fall behind you. You don't know if maybe the generator went out or what, but you see that there are lights, but there doesn't seem to be electricity.
Yeah. Well, good news, Paul.
What's that? I call from up above.
We might have found our goal.
Oh, yeah? I don't see any... Guy, we got a whack.
What?
Yeah, where are the people?
So, Eddie, you can walk down the corridor now. It's mostly
casually.
It's mostly not on fire anymore.
Is there still some fire for light?
There's still a little, yeah. Mostly,
there'll be still dead rats and stuff.
It's the burning corpses of the rats. The gasoline pretty much all burnt up.
Yeah, I'm just nonchalantly walking down the trail, occasionally stomping out the last life in a rat. I get to Paul.
I gaze, interestedly over the railing, see that, they're not dead.
Yeah. So you can see them by his flashlight, but from your vantage up there, there is another light in the room. Kind of off to the left of their flashlight, it's a red something, like a red LED.
Hey guys, over to your left. Get some light on, there's a little, is it blinking?
Yes.
5, 4, 3
There's a blinky light. You might want to put your lights on it.
All right.
Okay. You illuminate a generator, and the light is just a red blinking light on its console.
Yes, Jay, if you'll start doing some work.
And I look for, assumedly there's either stairs or a ladder down from this upper railing.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, again, the only light in the room is the flashlight. But, you know, you're kind of able to feel your way around and a little bit
of light. Handrails. Put my hands on them.
You find them. There's a set of stairs going down.
Much better than a ladder in the dark.
Actually, it is a ladder is what you're climbing down.
Even worse.
Just had to say it.
Take it back.
I will follow behind and step on his hands repeatedly.
Stop! Some of them. Hey, don't kick me in the face.
So you all get together. You're standing in front of this generator.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get it working. There's no point trying for subtlety at any point along this point. There's long on any time.
You do. You're able to get the find the on button. It kicks to life. It's got a dull rumble, but the lights do come back on. You are looking at some kind of processing facility. It's got a big vat of some kind of chemical. Again, you know, it's like it's got the consistency of honey, but not slick, not sticky at all. It has like a neutral smell. Has no real smell to it. And you're coated in it. You've just been slimed. I mean, you're completely coated in it. It doesn't feel awful or anything. It's just odd.
Anyone else thinking of that chemical factory from Batman?
Yeah, I'm trying to get it off me.
Does it remind me of ectoplasm at all?
No.
So it's not from the Fae.
I'm going to try to get it off.
Yeah, it comes off readily enough, but you're kind of soaked pretty thoroughly with it.
Yeah.
So looking around the room, there's a devices that do bottling, and yes, those little glass vials are what's being loaded in from the hopper. It looks like there is whatever that chemical vat you fell into looks to be mixed with something here to the left. It's a cylinder filled with black fluid. The fluid is moving. It's pushing itself against the container. It's kind of just moving around like it's trying to get out.
Well, we found the bottled evil.
Well, the good news is that we didn't get dunked in any of that stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I guess I appreciate you saving my life. And thank you kindly for doing that. It is my only life, so therefore I appreciate this. Comma. I do question some of the execution.
I was expecting there to be another side of the cavern, and then the rats will just come flying over the railway there, so...
This I understand. You know, it's just a lesson in expectations and dire acts. But like I said, I can't complain too heavily as you did save my life. So, thank you.
This thing.
Yeah.
Fire. I knock on the cylinder.
Well, we know.
Yeah, it violently throws itself at where your fist knocked on the cylinder.
I say
we burn it. Anything did to do it before?
Gasoline?
Cleansing fire sounds good to me. Is there any documentation around here? Look around for... Yes,
as a matter of fact, there is a 3-ring binder just kind of hanging off of a piece of string and a rope.
Oh, look, this place is ISO 9000 compliant.
It looks like it is all the manuals for the equipment that you see in the room.
It is ISO 9000.
Yeah.
I look at it curiously for a moment, but see if it has any more specific documentation, like what they've loaded it up with.
Unfortunately, it's all the generic manuals that would come with the equipment, not like what chemicals were being mixed, etc. The manual shows that it can be used for doing a lot of things like mixing tinting for paints, making various types of varnishes, making various, you know, it's essentially just a big vat that agitates and that you can add in certain things. Mostly coloring is what the manual talks about.
Huh, no self-immolation feature. Pity.
Yeah.
So how would one open the cylinder?
Well, I would say that we coat the surrounding area in gas, and we light it on fire, and then we break the cylinder and have it consumed via the fire.
It might escape before it can do that.
The manual does explain how to, you know, put on and remove the cylinder.
Also, we need more fire first.
We need better containment. We might have to take this back and hand it over to... We know about the council? Yeah, the council, whatever the hell they're called, so they can deal with this sort of thing. That's a bit... I think fire... This thing looks like more than just mere fire will take care of. It may need to go bigger and better sort of containment and magics and whatever else to get rid of it.
How big is the cylinder?
It's about the size of a fairly generous, like, styrofoam cooler. You know, maybe 3 foot by 2 foot.
Well, they're dealing with that. I'm going to be looking around for traces of entries, exits, and people that should be here.
Okay. Do it as focus, because this is something you're specifically looking for.
All right.
Okay.
Nope.
What you notice
is keeping the streak alive.
This whole room seems to be clad in what you're assuming is stainless steel. It's like a clean room. It's specifically made to be. It's very clean. Again, if this is stainless steel, perhaps it has something to do with what's being mixed. But you're not really finding anything. The way of exits or entrances.
And if I were to look for, say, hidden things using guile instead.
Yeah, I'll let you do that, sure.
Reroll, another roll, or?
Yeah, it would be a different roll.
All right, I'm so going
to
be...
You're essentially saying, if I were to hide a door, where would I hide it?
Yes. There we go.
Okay, there we go.
That's for the audience, I first rolled a 0 for just the actual looking nonchalant-like, and for the sneaky looking, I rolled a 5.
Yes, you find that there is a seam on the wall over here on two sides. Looks vaguely like a door if you were paying very close attention to it, but you don't see that there's like, there doesn't seem to be any like handle or anything to turn or any, you know, but This wall looks different right here.
And since I'm definitely not seeing any hinges on this side, presumably it would open away from me into wherever it's leading. That makes sense?
Makes sense to you.
Makes sense to me. Hey, Lorenzo.
Hello?
Come over here.
Considering for a moment whether it's safe to abandon the cylinder to these other two. He then comes over.
I nod, start pointing over to the very faint seams. I'm like, door.
And?
When there's a door, there's a pathway. Something's on the other side. Something hidden, I might add.
Okay, open it then.
Well, all right. Just want some backup first, and I think about opening the door. I just push against it.
Give me a force roll.
I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. No!
Most definitely.
I'm like, it's locked budge. Somehow. Does not after you, budge. Sir, kick it down. For the audience, I rolled a -3 on force.
There would be a ways of endorsing that. Itty, over here, please.
All right, so while they were working on the door to Wilbur, so are we going to torch this thing or take it back to the council?
Wilbur is struck dumb.
It's probably deep in the ideas of his dark, mystical plans of what he could do with it.
You there, Nick?
I just
clapping.
All right, repeat your question there, Eddie.
So, we going to torch this thing or take it back to the council?
I'm erring on the side of torching, but you know this one should be a group decision. So we shouldn't just make this one by ourselves.
And over at the door. Do I still have that convenient crowbar?
Yes.
Try to jam that in the seam and pop it out.
Sure. Give me a force roll.
The opposite of mine.
Takes some doing. And what you end up doing is wrecking more of the wall than the door. But you're finally able to free it. And you find out on the other side why it was so difficult. It's on the other side is one of these like submarine turning locks, you know, that look like a steering wheel and cycle it one way or the other. So it had some very sturdy steel beams on the other side holding all this together. So this thing was meant to be
hatch.
Closed. Yeah, like a hatch. So this thing was meant to be closed from only one side. And you're able to force your way through. On the inside, what you find is like a gantry system that it brings up buckets from somewhere far below, because what you're looking at is maybe a 5-6 foot rim that overlooks a deep drop. And below, it must be deep enough that it's hitting the water line, because you can definitely, off of your flashlight, see reflections of water very far below, as well as something that looks like a little island, kind of in the middle.
Well, it's like a haul 60, some stuff up and see 60 what...
60-foot some odd drop is what it looks like.
Let's haul some up and see if it's the gray stuff. Start hauling it up.
Right.
There's a
turn it on.
It's an automated system.
Yeah. Turn it on. The buckets start to lift, but the buckets all are empty. Each of the buckets are about the size of a car seat, and maybe 3 feet wide, couple of feet long.
So you're saying I could write this down?
You could.
I could, and. Should the system be turned off, I could also climb it up. Yes?
With a little bit of athleticness, yes.
All right. Bears investigation, right, Hilo? I'm going to go down there.
Is there any residual in the buckets or anything?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
Is there any residual in the buckets of stuff?
No, they seem to be pretty clean.
Before we go down, I don't want to leave this stuff behind us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Torch that stuff. See if it burns. Very important if you're soaked in it. Need to know that.
There's many more of the black stuff than the liquid.
Well, we probably have to burn it all. Unless you happen to know what it is.
A shrimp.
Hey, learned one. Any idea what this stuff is?
Where'd the six people go?
Good question.
There's six people here.
Yep.
The plane's here.
So, yep. And they either went to the left or to the right path.
And they either got turned in, unless they got turned into a caribou and five crows.
I mean, I would highly doubt that. So, they're still here, either down the left or right path. I mean, I think if we...
What do you mean the left or right path is? No left or right path.
We went both ways.
Yeah, all the way to the top is the
lake with
the plane, and then down here is this facility.
I thought when the guy, when...
Nope, Lorenzo, we went everywhere.
Jumped over the edge, there was...
Oh, no. It's left or right was like, think of this as a circular room. So he stepped off onto a platform and he could have gone left or right, but it all is in at the top of this room.
Okay.
He doesn't go anywhere else.
And there's no... Okay, so maybe they jumped into the Fae to escape. Is there a doorway near here? Paul?
This is the only door I found.
No, a door to the Fae.
Hmm. Interesting. If they're the owner of the threshold, they could have done that. Since I actually have the Pathfinder ability, can I sense a weakness in the fabric of the veil?
Actually, I'll just do that off your notice. No, there is no door here, but you can tell at looking at this that the threshold ends on the other side of this this door that you just went through. So, like while you're overlooking this this deep drop, apparently the threshold ended right at that hidden door. So on this side of the door, there's no threshold.
With his notice, I'm not sure he'd even open a notice door. It was an open doorway.
Okay, so they didn't jump through a immaterial door. So where'd they go?
I mean, you'd be able to tell that as well as I could, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I'm super crippled. I am...
I mean, your powers are not your senses.
Yeah, but a lot of my senses, unless I'm going to rip open my third eye, which I really don't want to do.
Probably a bad idea around here.
Yeah, I think that... I mean, or they could just be hidden by magic.
You think they'd stab us in the back by now?
Yeah.
I mean...
This year, we've been talking about torturing their evil cylinder thing.
I mean, all they've done is try to get us in a cave-in and send rats at us. So far in the mines, that is.
Maybe they're just incompetent.
I mean, we are, so...
Speak for yourself.
That's all you did, rat dance. I'm not saying... No, I am saying including myself in the we. Where the hell did they go?
Yeah, you're not saying Lorenzo disagreed with your either. So.
Yeah.
Oh, in terms of burning that cylinder, I'm just not sure. Previously, when we've burnt it, it's been little residual amounts from the cylinder that's been growing up a bit. So I'm not sure if that concentrated mess there would be able to survive a particular fire attack or not.
Well, fire typically solves all.
I'm happy to fire it, but if it escapes, what the hell do we do then?
I will point out, Mr. Wizard, that on that side of the door, the threshold ends, so if you want to toast it on that side, you might have a better chance.
Yeah. Where did they...
Does the cylinder have some sort of spout in order to start the flow out?
Yeah. in the manuals, you can see how it works. Essentially, it's airtight. Like once you unscrew it, it's got a valve that opens and closes.
So we can do a test sample. Pour a little bit onto a flame, see what happens.
I say, no, I say a little bit, I'm sure would burn quite nicely. I'm just not sure a big bit wouldn't be able to survive long enough to get out. Because it looks fairly mobile and sentient enough that it would just run away if it got set on fire. So if we had some better way of containing it and setting it alight than that cylinder, I'm not sure that we've got the right setup right this minute.
While you guys are discussing this,
Lorenzo, we can attack. Come on, Lorenzo, attack us.
You hear the sounds of what sounds like a motor far below.
Also, do you want to do a temporary circle for the thing, then set it fire on fire inside the circle? Looking at the wizard.
Not all the outsiders are terribly respectful of our magic. Kind of. They do break a lot of it. But we could attempt it.
I can't remember if I warned you. No, I didn't warn you because I didn't like you enough.
We can't leave it here. We're not taking it back with us. So we need to get to setting it on fire.
So my vote is to set it on fire.
There's something down there. I hear a motor.
There's something down where?
Point downwards towards where that water is, down the bucket.
I don't really want to risk the cylinder getting broken during a gunfight, so I think we should grab it and run. We can come back and check on these guys or, you know, face them when they try to track us down later. Because I'm sure they got tracking on the cylinder if they're trying to keep an abomination in it.
Well, I think it's important that we kill them so that way they don't continue. They don't reset up their facility somewhere else. I mean, if there's an engine somewhere down below that, that they're escaping. I would like to.
Yes, get the setting on fire. I'm going to go down. Oh, if you hear screaming, you'll know I'm in trouble.
No, this isn't the casual set on fire. This is a long drone out. I'm not setting it on fire right now.
Then when are you going to set it on fire? Good Lord, man. Get to it as I go and start traveling down the buckets.
All right. That seems to hold your weight just fine.
We're going to have to take it with us because we don't have. They could stick around behind us, so we can take it with us. We all have to go down.
There seems to be some light source as you're heading towards the bottom. It's more of a phosphorescent glow than anything else. The flashlight from Lorenzo is not really penetrating much down here. So as you come to the end of the bucket, you're dumped off right onto the island that you were seeing from the top. Center of the island seems to be a pulsing purplish green color as it's lighting up what looks like a shard of stone that has been placed on the ground here that has, again, all this kind of that Rapa Nui text all over it. You're hearing the sound of a fading engine as if something is pulling away. You don't see it because it's all very dark down here. Sounds an awful lot like a motorboat. And as the bucket drops you onto the island,
it blows up
around this stone that's got this weird kind of light getting off of it. You're catching flickers of movement as black tendrils of tar-like goo start to coalesce and notice that you're set foot here. And that's where we'll pause the game.
Yay! Thanks for running, Gert. It was fun.
Yeah, I know some of you. This is very late, so we'll leave Steven's character here in the lurch.
Yay! Thanks for running, everybody. It was fun. I appreciate everybody's playing. I look forward to the next time we get to play together.
Yeah, let's see who dies.
Probably all of us.
Burn the container. All right, guys. Have a good night.